And that's what we're going to be reflecting on sowing the seeds of God. See, it's more than one seed. And the more you get involved and the more you know, you're going to end up with a satchel. And it's got a lot of seed in it. And you need to start using that seed. Not spreading it around, because sitting in that bag, all the seed you got, if it ain't going out and planting, it ain't going to grow into anything, is it? So turn to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. And we're going to read 1 through 5, 7 through 10. We're going to stay with the Message Bible. Only because you've heard it so many times in the King James. I just think that when we use the Message Bible and a few of the others, that they really like open your eyes up a little bit more to what the Scripture has to say. Okay. It says, live creatively, friends. If someone falls into sin, forgivingly restore him, saving your critical comments for yourself. You might be needing forgiveness before the day's out. Stoop down and reach out to those who are oppressed. Now, I stopped right there, and I thought, it's a good time. Do you remember the man in the pit? A man fell into a pit and couldn't get himself out. A subjective person came along and said, I feel for you down there, brother. A Pharisee said, only bad people fall into pits. A mathematician calculated how deep the pit was. Said, you know how deep down you are, brother? A news reporter wanted the exclusive story on the pit. Hey, brother, tell me what it's like. How long you been down there? Is it damp? Is it cold? An IRS agent asked, are you paying taxes on your pit? Really? Yeah, because they tax everything. A self-pitying person said, you haven't seen anything until you've seen my pit. A fire and brimstone preacher said, you deserve your pit, son. A Christian scientist said, the pit is just in your mind. A psychologist noted, your mother and father are to blame for you being in that pit. An optimist said, things could be worse. A pessimist said, things will get worse. WWJD, what would Jesus do? Jesus, seeing the man, took him by the hand and lifted him out of the pit. Lifted him out of the pit. What would Jesus do? It gets you out of the pit. Don't put your trust in man. Put your trust in Jesus. Amen. Because they're going to want to talk about your pit and how you got there. Jesus doesn't care how you got there. He wants to get you out of there to get you in the right place. Okay, stoop down and reach out to those who are oppressed. Share their burdens, and so complete Christ's law. What is His law? The love law. That's what it's about. If you think you are too good for that, you are badly deceived. Make a careful exploration of who you are and the work you have been given, and then sink your teeth into that. Don't be impressed with yourself. Don't compare yourself to others. That's not good, right? Each of you must take responsibility for doing the creative best you can do with your own life. Quit trying to get the speck out of somebody else's eyes when you got that pillar coming out of your eyeball. Verse 7, don't be misled. No one makes a fool of God. What a person plants, he will harvest. The person who plants selfishness, ignoring the needs of others, ignoring God, harvests a crop of weeds. And he'll have to show for his life is all weeds. Weeds shrivel up. and they die. They turn brown, and they aren't good for anything. But the one who plants in response to God, letting God's Spirit do the growth work in him, harvests a crop of real life, eternal life. So let's not allow ourselves to get fatigued doing good. Don't grow weary. At the right time, we will harvest a good crop if we don't give up or quit. Right now, therefore, every time we get the chance, let us work for the benefit of all, starting with the people closest to us in the community of faith. That's our fellow believers, our brothers and sisters in the Lord. Verse 1 starts out with saying to live creatively, looking for the opportunities to help or sow into your fellow man's lives. Reserving your comments, no matter what it is. Keeping your mouth shut. For you yourself are probably going to end up needing something sooner or later and needing help. And you don't want to be found being critical. Don't pay so much attention to what others are doing. Pay attention to what God's given you to do. The Word says, if you think you're above sharing and helping someone carry their burden, you're sadly mistaken. Because that isn't Christ's law. Because that ain't love. Very simple. It ain't love. Sometimes our will, though, it gets in the way, doesn't it? Our will is like a pressure switch. When it gets to be too much for us to handle, we activate our pressure switch and we shut off and shut down whatever we don't think we can handle. Whatever we think we can handle. He can handle everything. Why are you trying to handle it anyhow? Let him handle it. Give him your concerns. Because if it concerns you, it concerns him. Because you concern him. Our will is a manufactured pressure switch between us and God. A pressure switch is designed to limit and control how much gets let through it. See, we can have as little or as much of God as we want in our lives. And at any given moment, we need to be reassured that he has the resources to deliver. At any moment. So why do you got the pressure switch set so low? When it comes to the things of God and what he has to offer, why would we ever want to limit all the good things that he has for us? Yeah. Because that's where all good things come from above, right? Not bad things. No sickness and disease come from him. Because if they did, then we should all want to be sick and have a disease, right? Well, that's not what he wants for us. It's not what he wants for his kids. He wants us healed, healthy, and whole. We got to grab hold of that. Grab hold of it. I don't care what you're going through. God will get you through it. You all are going to look for that miracle. Boom. Hey, I couldn't walk before. Now I can walk. Yeah, that does happen. But there are other times when I can't walk. My hip is completely shot. What am I going to do? I guess I'm going to go find a doctor. And I'm going to go to that doctor. And I'm going to say, Lord, is this the one you want to operate on me? You get that inner peace that says, okay. And then you come and you pray and you believe that Jehovah Rapha is going to be in that room working through that doctor's hands and through every technician that's in that room. And you'll come out walking again. Just because it didn't come the way that man thinks it should be. No, but I know what God worked it out to be. So that means you is a testimony. Whether it's a knee, whether it's a liver. Now they're doing shoulders, I understand. So things are not limited for us. We just got to trust God. And when you get those bad reports, to say, okay, but I know the report of the Lord. And the report of the Lord says, I shall live and not die. I shall live to declare the works for him. I shall be a living testimony for him. I will be able to share with others what God has done for me. And what he has done for me, he will do for you, because he is not a respecter of persons. When he went to the cross, he went to the cross because of love. Not just for Jack, not just for Brother Denny, but for every one of you sitting here. He took it personal for each and every one of us. He loves us all the same. But we resist that love. Quit resisting the love he got. Because when you know that he loves you, you'll feel those arms wrapped around you. And you'll take comfort knowing that you will have the victory. You will have the victory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah is right, brother. So, when it comes back to the seed and the harvesting, see, every believer, though, he knows the way because of the attained knowledge of the truth. See, that is what drew them to Christ, was that knowledge. Everyone who knows the way has seed to be planting or to be sharing. It's not up to us, though, to determine what kind of harvest we will reap. That's God's responsibility, and he knows his job very well. He doesn't need help in that area, in that part of it. He needs us to do our part in planting the seeds. If we get into the idea, though, of determining the harvest, all the seed we have access to will never be sown. And the harvest to be reaped will be limited to our understanding. Quit relying on your own understanding. Rely on the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. In Mark 12, verses 30 and 31, New King James, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second, like it, is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. But there's always that one neighbor. And everybody says, they're so hard to get along with. And let alone you're saying to love them? That's what he wants us to do. Love our neighbor as ourselves. Because what's the word tell us to do? We are to be loving God and loving people. But Pastor Jack, you said peoples is peoples. Yeah, peoples is peoples. But it still doesn't change the fact that you've got to love them. God does. Each and every one of us in our own unique way. He loves us all the same. So, peoples is peoples. But if you love on them, guess what? You can change peoples. Okay. The word tells us, if you think, though, that you're above this, you're mistaken. See, and our responsibility is to make sure that we take that seed and do what we're supposed to do with it. But a lot of times people, when you tell them you got to love them, they look and they say, really? Are you sure? Yeah, sure. You got to love them. Do you have to have them at your house? Well, do you love them? Yeah, you got to love them. Okay? So when it comes to your neighbors, do you know your neighbors? Do you really know them? Have you reached out to them? Do they walk up and know that you know Jesus? makes a big difference in their life. Because if they can see the Jesus in you, then they see the love of God. Because you can't love people sometimes without the love of God. And it's up to you. You can either put the love out or not. I'm telling you, it's to your benefit to love your neighbor. Love your brothers and sisters. No matter what, you love on them. You care for them. You don't know what they're going through. You don't know what life's been like for them. You don't know their childhood. You don't know how it started for them. Look at Joyce Myers. And it took her a lot of years. Don't wait, because in those years, it's not all peaches and cream. It's really miserable for you. It's miserable for you. Don't live in that life of misery. Get out of it. Share the love of Jesus that you have in your heart. Because when you asked Him into your heart, that's where you got the love imparted to you. He imparted it to you. And it's called agape love. It's unconditional. When you say, I can't do it, you, no, yes, you can. No, I can't. Yes, you can. Why can't you? It's in you, then you can. The only one that's stopping it from coming out is you. Quit being about you and be about Him. Emulate Him. Be like Him. He set the greatest example for each and every one of us. I strive to work hard to get to there. Am I there? No, I'm a way far away from being to that point in my life. But He's working with me because I'm willing. I'm willing. So when it comes to harvest, and we talk about it, what do we think about? We automatically think about farms, right? We think about driving up here over towards, and I won't say Janoski's Farms. Oh, did I say that? Oops, sorry. Well, anyhow, you'll see if they got acres and acres of corn. And that one area you drive by, there's nothing but cabbages out there. And then you got one area that's nothing but zucchini. Yeah, it's all vegetables, no meat, Doc. All vegetables. Awesome place. Awesome place. Anyhow, then you start to think about, once that comes and it's full grown, those farm markets are going to be full. They're going to be full of all of that fresh produce. But it's only for a certain length of time, is it not? So with that in mind, I want you to think, what is your preconceived idea of a harvest spiritually, especially compared to God's? Have you ever thought about it? Think about that for a second. So what are your thoughts on a harvest for God? What have you been planting? What have you been planting? We all have the opportunity to plant and to water. It's not up to us to decide what it's going to be. It's up to God what it's going to be. You plant it. You plant the seed. You plant the seed by your words, by the example that you lead, how you reflect who you are out there in the community, on the job, with your fellow employees who are watching you, especially if you've said, I'm a Christian, and they're going to watch you to see if you slip up. Because that happened to me after I was first saved. I had a crew, and we were working on a piece of equipment. And they were watching. I didn't know they were. And I had one of them comment to me, said, you just swore. And I looked right at him, and I said, you're wrong. No, I know I heard you. And he looked at us, didn't you hear me? And none of them said a word. I looked at him, I said, I'm going to tell you what. If I'd have said something wrong, I'd have knew it in me. And he just looked at me. Well, that shut him up right there. Because that was the Holy Spirit gave me those words to say, because I was really new to this walk. God will protect you early on. But once you get to a point and you get into your adult stages and your maturity in the walk, before you open your mouth, ask God for the words to say. Ask the Holy Spirit to bring it forth. Because they're listening, folks. They're listening. And you got a whole satchel full of seed to give them. So we're instructed in the Word not to waste any of our opportunities. And that means we need to be on the lookout. We need to be ready to respond. We need to have the mindset, it's not what kind of seed can I plant today. Just plant the seed. We have the right seed to plant. No matter what kind of seed is required, we're tapped into the source of all the seed springs forth from. Who can I bless today? That should be what we're saying. Who can I do a favor for? Yeah, Pastor called and said he needed to move a desk. You know what? I know I got to go do this, but can we do it early in the morning? Yeah, we can. And I'm blessed because I can ask someone for one favor. Next thing I know, I got a team. Because that's the love of God. That's what these men have. Not because they're just a pastor. Doc, if you'd have called those same guys, called one individual and said, and he started the ball rolling. Because they care enough. It's not just because I'm the pastor. He could do that. Rich, you could do that. But you never ask. No, Rich, yeah, I'm talking to you. You never ask. Oh, I'll do it myself. I'll get it. I know, I've talked to your son. He lets secrets out, brother. But you know what? He loves his dad. I will say that. His son loves you. You've taught him well. You've led a great example of a life before him. And it's not over. You've got a long way to go yet. We all do. Because our Heavenly Father is still teaching each and every one of us. Each and every one of us. He even teaches us how to be new grandparents. And, you know, Carly and Scott, they've got the new addition now. Why it's there. And you know what? She's probably looking at that little tag that's on the toe. And she says, God, there's nothing on this toe. He said, no, but you'll do fine because I know the household that you've been raised in. Because she's not going to have directions. But she'll do a good job. So sometimes, though, the soil won't be prepared to receive the seed. So we have to get out the tiller, right? And we got to loosen up the soil a little bit before we can plant the seed. And how do you do that? By how you address that individual. You're showing love, compassion, understanding, and encouragement. Don't beat them up. Give them encouragement. And you'll till that soil. And you'll get it ready. And you may not get the opportunity at that time, though, to sow that seed. But you did till it. And the next individual that comes along will have nice open soil. And he'll be able to plant the seed. So don't take it that you missed an opportunity. Make sure you tilled it good. Till it up. Because there's somebody that's going to follow you. That's going to bring forth the seed. And they're going to put that seed in. You may not even be the one who's going to water it. Somebody else is going to be watering it. Just because that individual put the seed in doesn't mean he's going to have to be there all the time. Be nice if he can water it at times. But there's somebody else that's going to step in, make sure it's watered. You got to trust in the fact that it's going to happen. You may not even be the individual who has to get the sunshine on it when it needs it or put a little bit of shade over it to protect it. It's not up to you. What your job is to get it ready and get the seed out. When you have the opportunity, you plant the seed. You plant the seed each and every time. See, because there's no level of preparation that is too great or too small. Now, in this process, especially before the harvest, because it starts there. So what I want to look at is three areas about the harvest you need to understand to reap your harvest. The first area of the harvest you need to understand is, number one, you will always reap what you sow. The harvest is a result of what you sowed into it. In Galatians 6:8, it said, the person who plants selfishness, ignoring the needs of others, ignoring God, harvests a crop of weeds, and he'll have to show only weeds for what he has done. But the one who plants in response to God, letting God's Spirit do the growth work in him, harvests a crop of real life, eternal life. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul writes in verse 6, a stingy planter gets a stingy crop. A lavish planter gets a lavish crop. You get to decide what kind of crop you want to reap. Everyone needs to make up their own mind on what they will give. When you reach in, are you going like this? Or are you going like this? Makes a difference. Makes a difference. When you plant grass seed, they don't go. They go, whew. You don't put enough down. Those out there in the lawn businesses, you know it ain't going to grow. It's going to be very sparse. And what's going to happen in between all that nice grass that you put? Weeds. They grow easily. You got to keep them under control. So you got to weed and feed, weed and feed. Hallelujah. God loves it when the giver delights in giving. God loves to bless, and he also loves it when we bless others. And God will continue to bless you as you bless others. The more you bless others, the more God blesses you. Because he knows that you aren't afraid to share it. And you'll always have more than you need. And then you'll bless somebody some more. And God will bless you some more. Because when you're blessing somebody, you're happy to do it. You don't do it begrudgingly. You do it because God put it upon your heart to bless somebody. And when you bless them, they're happy. They don't even know what to say sometimes. And you gotta quit telling them, you're robbing, you know, don't rob them of their blessing, right, my sister? Let them. I want to bless you. Let them bless you. If they want to buy the ketchup, let them buy the ketchup. You don't have to be feeling bad about it because you didn't have ketchup here. Let them buy it. Don't try to repay them because you're robbing them of a blessing. You know, God will replace that ketchup with more ketchup. They'll probably have more ketchup in their house than they need. Now, it may not be ketchup, but they will be blessed. It'll be in return. Verse 8. God can pour on the blessings in astonishing ways so that you're ready for anything and everything. More than just ready to do what needs to be done, as one psalmist puts it, he throws caution to the winds, giving to the needy in reckless abandon. His right living, right giving ways never run out, never wear out. I want that for me. And how do you do that? By you blessing others. The most gracious God who gives seed to the farmer that becomes bread for your meals is more than extravagant with you. Now, I know sometimes it's difficult to deal with others the way we want God to deal with us, isn't it? But what's extravagant mean? Extravagant is defined as, one, spending too much, characterized by excessive spending. That don't happen in my household. I don't let it. Two, beyond what is reasonable. Three, flamboyant. Profusely or exaggeratedly decorated, decorative or showy. Four, abundant, existing or produced in quantity. See, that's how God is with us and what He wants us to be with others. He leads by example. And if we follow His example, it brings great rewards. Giving to the needy in reckless abandon. That's what we're to do. Because that's not what the hoard mentality of this world teaches us, or what society has been showing us all along, has it? No. I'll just keep my wallet tight. Put it in button that button back there. Don't come out. Therese cut the buttons off mine. Proverbs 11, 24 and 25. You'll like this, Daniel, especially the way the Message says this one. The world of the generous gets larger and larger. The world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. The one who blesses others is abundantly blessed. Those who help others are helped. Well, that is pretty simple. Pretty simple for me to understand. So have you ever tried to outgive God, though? Try as you may, you can't outgive God. I'm telling you, you can't outgive God. You give willingly, obediently, and out of the right heart and right attitude, you'll never outgive Him, because He'll be able to reward you for that. He'll be able to show you His return on your investment. He is the best financial analyst there is. If we follow His leading, we follow what He tells us to be, and be good stewards as He teaches us, we'll never be found lacking in anything. He will supply all of our needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. It's all about Him. Not about you. When my girls were going into college and I said, okay, I can't get a loan because I'm at one of them points where you make too much or you don't make enough. You know, it's somewhere in between. I didn't qualify for anything. Okay, what am I going to do? After I was newly saved, I'm tithing like I was supposed to be. And I said, okay, Lord, this one's on You. What do I do here? Because I need cash. He didn't come to my house and go, and dish it out. No. He gave me the opportunity to work on my job. And all of a sudden, they changed that year and said, we're going to pay you for your overtime. So they scheduled me to work 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 10 hours a day. I went, wow. So you get time and a half for every 2 hours over the 8 hours. But once you accumulate to 40 hours, you get time and a half for everything over that. And I was tithing, so I was able to tithe more. I was able to tithe more. And I was able to pay for my kids' education because He gave me the opportunity to work and to work hard. And I did. And the whole time I did it with the right attitude, and I thanked Him. And the whole time I was doing it, all it kept doing for me was giving me promotion after promotion after promotion, which I was not educated to be in those positions. I didn't have that college education. And I'm not saying you can be successful if you don't have one. It's all in how you apply yourself and what you're doing. But I'm going to tell you what right now. I wished I would have had my college education, because I know now what I see that I didn't see then. And I wasted some of that. So I'm not saying don't get that education, because that's a foundation right there. It's a good tool that you can build off of. I worked with a gentleman that I actually helped hire. And when I read his paperwork. Everybody, you know, a lot of them were saying, no, no. And I said, man, I got a good feeling about him. Do you know what he was? He had a degree in music. He was awesome in that area. But it is, he became one of our best chemical engineers that we had. He came in, he took over. Name was John Heinbuckle, I'll never forget him. Awesome guy to work with, work for in the recovery area. He had a degree that gave him the foundation. That's the reason that corporate said, look at him, because he had an education. That, you go to a trade school, opens up doors for you. It will help you. It will show you things. It's just not going to show you. Sometimes you're just going for a trade, but also during that trade, it's going to tell you how to run and work within that trade, because you need their skills, not just there, but you got to be able to organize time. You got to be able to fill out timesheets. There's a lot of things that happen for you. So when you go, pay attention. Education is so vital. That's why I wanted to make sure I let you know that. I know there's things that I see now that I could have been a lot further in my career. But you know what? I did all right. And then when I thought it was over with, God says, now I can put you to work for where I called you to be years ago. And I at first said, really? And then he said, yeah. And I've had more people that have come across in my path, in my walk here, in my life, that have said, you know, I knew this a long time ago. And they'll say, they've showed me little pieces of paper that they've had. They're written about me. And I go, wow. So I spent a lot of years running from where I was supposed to be. And now I know that I'm where I'm supposed to be. Now, leading all that, I also want to let you know that there was a story about an evangelist that I read. I was sharing this with Vic the other day. And this evangelist, what he did, he went out and he was preaching about obeying the voice of God that he'd heard, and about giving, and giving largely into the kingdom of God. Okay? And he told how he would test the Lord, as Malachi instructs. So Malachi 3:10 says, bring all the tithe into the storehouse, and that there may be food in my house. And try me now this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. Well, he started out by telling how everything was like at a small start for him. He says, you know, he started out by small things, and how that God would instruct him to do things. And then he would think about them and obey. I've been there. Newly saved, driving down the street one day. And God says, stop at Sozo's house. I want you to give him $100. Whoa! Who are you talking to? I mean, I literally heard that in my car. And I kept driving. No, you can't be talking to me. I went on down the street, drove past that house. And the boy said, I told you to stop. I turned the street, was going down the other. Said, I told you to go give that person $100. I said, okay, God, that must be you really want me to do it. I turned around there. I went up there. And I thought, okay, I'm giving $100. I reached in. Yeah, I got $100. I walked up the door, knocked on the door. They opened the door and said, God told me to do this. Here. I walked away. Later on, I found out that person needed $100. But I almost blew it. I did a lot of sweating. You know, but we got to be obedient to God. Okay, now get back into this evangelist here. Anyhow, as his relationship grew, his response time to God got shorter and shorter and shorter. Until one day, the Lord prompted him to give away everything he had. So he did. Only this time, he didn't even think about it twice. He did exactly what God told him to do. Gave it all away. And he was thinking, I got you now, Lord. I got you this time. Just when he thought maybe he had outgiven God, someone walked up to him and gave him a jet airplane. And he thought, great, that's great. Now, I have a really expensive airplane to fly all over the world to preach the gospel, and I don't have any money to pay for the gas to get this thing off the ground. And the next thing he knew, the person that walked up to him, his cell phone rang, and the man was instructed to tell him, the one who gave you the airplane also is going to buy the gas and maintain the aircraft and provide the crew and all the costs associated with it as well. At that moment, the evangelist said, God spoke to him saying, you think you got me? Nice try, but you'll never outgive me. But he did what God told him to do. And at that very moment, like I say, the evangelist knew he was doing what he was supposed to be, and he was being obedient. Obedience pays great dividends. Great dividends. God can pour out the blessings in astonishing ways so that you're ready for anything and everything, more than just ready to do what needs to be done. So with reckless abandon, like God is going to be in charge of the equipment needed to do the harvesting for what you're sowing. So throw handfuls out there. So that question gives new meaning to the word sow, does it not? Especially when God's involved. Now we have two more areas to get into. The harvest, which is a process, and the other one. There's way too many notes here. Harvest is the season too. Because Kyle had been back here, and he's going like this. I went, okay, so that's where we're going to stop. And I will pick this up next Sunday on our harvest and our sows.